And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show for you today. Ryan McGee from ESPN joins us at 7 o'clock. Our man TD Teron Davenport will be with us at 8. And then former Ravens wide receiver and co-host of their pre- and post-game show there in Baltimore, Kadri Ismail, joins us at 9 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Also, if you missed our conversation from yesterday with Lewis Riddick from ESPN, one of the great analysts they have in the NFL, also a part of the Monday Night Football crew as well, we'll replay for you that for you at 6:15. It was a phenomenal conversation with him. We get into Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Arthur Smith, what his prospects could look like as a head coach in this league, all that and more coming up with Lewis Riddick at 6:15. Joe Rexrode, how are we doing this morning?
Doing all right. Got a snow day for the kids. Oh. So for those of you who are out there, be careful. I don't know how shaky it is in certain areas, but yeah, snow day. So snow days still exist.
Snow days
in the Zoom era.
Now, does the inner Michigan in you, when you look at the snow days that we get here and getting out of school for, do you just kind of laugh at that like most northern people do when they tell me about snow in Tennessee?
Yes. Now remember, I went to high school in Virginia, so when we got a half inch of snow, we got a snow day. So right. I've lived it too. But yeah, I mean, up there, you gotta overwhelm the trucks that are always ready to go. So up there, you earn your snow days.
That's right.
You know, but it's pretty exciting for the kids. They're like, man, like when we moved here, like, so any kind of snow, we're gonna get a snow day, right? Like, yeah, probably.
Even the threat of snow, most of the time you'll get a snow day here.
Sometimes, yeah. So
that's one of the good parts. I missed that part about being a kid. Hanging out with our friends at Channel 4 WSMV today. Joe Dubin in the house. My little bald dome was on TV. I'll be on here in the next few minutes as well, Rex Road. So blessing the people of Nashville with my voice on the radio and my face on the television this morning.
That is very exciting. Is this going to be tweeted? Is this going to be shared? Yeah. Okay. Good. I got really looking forward to that. Those two domes together. That's yes. That's some serious dome action, man.
It may change the course of Nashville television forever. Some big news yesterday for the Tennessee Titans: Steven Goskowski activated from the reserve COVID-19 list. Guard Aaron Brewer placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. So some movement both ways for the Titans there. Good news to get Goskowski back in the fold, even though legendary kicker Sam Sloman now probably not going to be a part of the action of things coming up here on Sunday. But Aaron Brewer to the list, and you know, we talked about it earlier this week with Roger Saffold and the injuries that he's going through. He said that he's absolutely going to be playing on Sunday. But Aaron Brewer, I think for the most part, Joe, has come in there and done a nice job when called upon.
Right, and even though, you know, Saffold, of course, is going to, you know, the fact that they made Saffold available, I think, is a good sign, too, along with him saying he's absolutely going to play. But, look, he's been banged up. He's missed a lot of practice. He had to leave last game. Brewer has been able to come in. That's a big loss to lose Brewer. So you got Jameel Douglas, you know, in reserve. But very important that Saffold not only plays but is able to stay in the game. And another thing is, it's, you know, there was a trainer, of course, as Adam Schefter reported, who tested positive. So now you have a player going on the list. I mean, it's just been sort of a person here or there for the Titans. So it looks like that's all it is, but still kind of concerning as we move forward the game. Nothing like, obviously, what the Cleveland Browns are dealing with.
Absolutely, and hopefully we can avoid that situation as we continue to go through the week and through the weekend here leading up to the game on Sunday. So, Joe, we've talked about the Ravens and their offense, specifically with Lamar Jackson and the different challenges that he brings to the table, both in the passing game and his ability to break defenses down and run with the ball. But as you look at this team as a whole, if you're the Titans heading into this game, what scares you the most about the Baltimore Ravens outside of their quarterback in Lamar Jackson?
Well, to me, it's just the whole running game. Even though you've done a good job, I still think it's a very formidable running game and a very diverse running game. There's option football, but there's just power football. That's what I always thought last year going into that game. I remember, you know, watching them last year, Gus Edwards you're doing all these different things with option football, and then you just send him up the middle, and it's like, what are you going to do, defense, you know, because he is a power back, and he's been running well lately. And obviously J.K. Dobbins, now he kind of found something actually against the Titans the first time around, 15 for 70, but he's obviously really playing well right now. Another one of those rookie backs, kind of like Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. So it's that. I mean, this, if you keep their running game, you know, to 150 or less, I don't see how you don't win this game if you're the Titans. You know, I mean, I think other than, you know, the bad turnovers or whatever. Right. I mean, if it's a straight up game, you know, but that's about the number for me. So, I mean, that's what you have to fear. I think anybody who plays the Ravens, that's what you talk about first.
I think so, too. And then you look around to the other side. Obviously, you know, with the Titans offense, that's going to have to be the strength. That's been the strength all season long. But you look at Baltimore's defense, and Calais Campbell looks like he's going to be a part of the fold. Brandon Williams as well, two guys that weren't there the last time the Titans played them in November. And you wonder what sort of an impact that has for the Titans in the running game with Derrick Henry. I know he's been rolling, obviously, over 2,000 yards on the season. But getting those two guys back specifically for Baltimore, and then you factor in their two corners that just didn't play well the last time the Titans were in town. I think still defensively, with the way Baltimore's played lately, you worry about that. You worry about their ability maybe to stall out some Titans drives and for the Titans to get off to a slow start, which we've seen at times this year. If you're that offense and you get off to a slow start, you could be in a hole that you just can't dig your way out of.
Yeah, look, this defense is – it's not like the Ravens said in the offseason, hey, we've got to figure out a way to beat the Tennessee Titans, and you know, that's our entire – you know, they knew they had to be tougher up the middle, tougher inside. And they did a lot. They did a lot of work to do that. And really, in that first game, they were doing pretty good job on Derrick Henry for most of the game. This happens. We see this quite a bit where teams do that for a certain amount of time, and then eventually it kind of breaks open on them. That's exactly what happened. And he, you know, does the walk-off home run on him, you know. But they were doing a good job without Calais Campbell, without Brandon Williams. So add them to the mix. What does that do? Does that free them up to do some different things defensively? You know, that's going to be really interesting. And then Saffold, we just talked about Aaron Brewer not being there, but you know, so Saffold absolutely going to play, but what percentage is he? You know, because he's obviously that's a much tougher matchup for that offensive line now with the defensive interior. So this is also it's an Arthur Smith game. You know, what's the plan to loosen things up? You know, take advantage. Like you said, Robbie, those are really good corners. They didn't look really good against the Titans last time. I mean, the Titans made them look not very good. I know they are very good, you know, over the duration of their, you know, their careers and recent history, they've been very good, but Titans victimize them. Can they do that again?
And, you know, on the other side with Lamar Jackson, and you've talked about his ability to throw the ball deep, well, a big weapon in that, especially last year, not as much this year, has been Marquise Hollywood Brown. And it was interesting going into the first battle between these two teams this year. Hollywood Brown was frustrated. There were tweets about what was going on with the offense, how predictable it was, his lack of involvement in the offense. And he was shut out against the Titans, did not have a single catch on the day for three targets. And it's almost like that game was a turning point for him this year. He comes out the next week against Pittsburgh, four catches, 85 yards and a touchdown. Scores a touchdown the next 3 weeks in a row. You know, a couple weeks ago against Jacksonville, six catches, 98 yards. Last week against Cincinnati, five catches, 41 yards, two touchdowns in that game. So it seems like Hollywood Brown has come alive a little bit in the last half of this season. And if you're the Titans, obviously you need to be focused in on stopping the run and make sure that that offense doesn't kill you that way. But if you're careful, you'll get lulled to sleep. Lamar Jackson will throw it over the top. And Hollywood Brown seems to be playing a lot better now than he was back in November.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big safety game, of course. You know, and I guess that's one of those. It's one of those things you can say, well, what NFL game isn't? But you've got those guys have got to support at times. You know, if you're really going to do a good job against this run game, you know, those guys are going to have to be in there. You're going to need those hats in there at times, and then also like you can't give up the big one. You know, you got to make the Ravens earn it. You know, we've talked in some of these other matchups this year, just the, you know, dink, 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 right? That's you don't worry about that with this. I mean, with this, it's, listen, make them, if they go down the field, fine, between the 20s, you stop them in the red zone. But also, like, you can't, you know, you can't give up the big one to these guys, because that is definitely what they look for. And they'll dink you with Mark Andrews now, but they look for the home run. And it's, look, I mean, they really stress safeties, obviously, when they've got that running game rolling.
Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What's your prediction for Sunday's Titans game against the Ravens here at Nissan Stadium? The options are the Titans win by 4 or more, the Titans win by 3 or less, the Ravens win by 3 or less, or the Ravens win by 4 or more. Very early in the voting right now, 44% going with the Titans win by 3 or less, 37% going with the Ravens win by 4 or more, 19% going with the Titans win by 4 or more, and right now, Joe, 0% say the Ravens win by 3 or less. So a lot of people feeling if the Ravens are going to win this game, they're going to win by 4 or more. Not too much faith in the Ravens to pull out a close one in this one. So far, very early in the voting.
Yeah, I'm gonna think that'll change, right?
Probably. I mean, it will not remain at zero.
I'm going to guess that after a bit with this, and very nice, Ryan Porth, very nice poll, Ryan Porth. nice job there putting that together.
Robbie actually deserves the credit on this one.
Yeah, so all right, sorry, Porth.
Well, we'll give it another try next week then, buddy. I've got to think that most people are going to view this as a close game, right? I mean, I know any of these games could get out of hand, but I'd be surprised if we don't have a really good one Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to monitor, and we'll continue to keep you updated on the poll question throughout the day. I think this one's going to be interesting. I think pretty even splitting all the way throughout. When we come back, we had Lewis Riddick on yesterday from ESPN, part of the Monday Night Football broadcast as well. He'll be on the game coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Ravens. Great stuff about Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. Also, where does Arthur Smith forecast to be as a head coach in this league? We'll bring that back up next. Lewis Riddick, if you missed it yesterday, that conversation is coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Great stuff there from Lewis Riddick from ESPN in our last segment. We had a great conversation with him yesterday. And Joe, we talked about it a little bit yesterday after that conversation, just what his future could look like, maybe as a general manager in the National Football League. He had obviously some glowing words there about Arthur Smith, Titans offensive coordinator, called him a can't-miss guy as a head coach in the NFL. You got to wonder, like, what is Arthur Smith's future looks like? He's getting interviews all over the place. I would say it's very, very likely at this point he ends up with a head coaching gig next year somewhere. But what does it look like for Lewis Riddick as well? It always seems like he's around the interview circle. He's talked about. He's a guy that teams are obviously very interested in. Do you think this is the year that Lewis Riddick maybe becomes a general manager in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a football fan listening to that interview right now, there's got to be some sadness because I think we might all be losing him. And, like, when he's the GM of the Falcons or whatever, we're not going to get, like, Lewis Riddick on to talk football, you know? Right. So kind of sucks for us, too, because it'd be great to talk to that guy every day. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a great chance. And yeah, I know that the reaction on Twitter to I tweeted a couple of his – quotes yesterday during the interview, and there's a lot of reaction to them about the Tannehill and about Arthur Smith. Some of that reaction from other fan bases, like, let's get these two together. And I didn't know that Riddick and Arthur Smith went back that far. You know, Arthur Smith's first job was as a, like, you know, quality control guy with the Redskins in 07. Riddick was director of player personnel then. And Arthur Smith was just out of college at that point. You know, he had a grad year at North Carolina. But now it's like, I mean, if you're an NFL fan, like, wheels spinning, Lewis Riddick, Arthur Smith combo, you know, how about that? Do we get credit for, like, pre-breaking that story if it happens? I think we should get some,
I mean,
kind
at
of
least
credit.
Partial, right? I mean, this has got to be where we knew that maybe the Riddick-Arthur Smith combo was a part of, like, in all seriousness, like, I don't know what's going to happen with Lewis Riddick. I don't know whether or not he's going to end up getting a general manager job this year. I do think it's somewhat likely, given, like you said, just how smart he is and how much interest seems to be around him. He made no bones about it, though. Like, if a team goes out and hires him, like if the Falcons hired him, I think Arthur Smith would be his first call. So I think so. I think we deserve at least 22% credit.
I think you should take full credit, not just partial credit, but full credit.
Okay. We can do that.
I mean, people have taken full credit for less, so we could do that. So remind me right now the open GM jobs. It's harder for me to keep track of that than the coaches. What are we looking at GM?
Well, it's certainly not Houston anymore.
Yeah, not Houston. We know that.
Not in Houston. I think Atlanta's is open. Do the Detroit Lions have a GM yet? Have they found their mighty leader?
No. And of course, you know, with the Lions, there's a talk that they might hire the coach first, which of course would be classic Lions, you know, to like hire the coach and then try to hire a GM and say, here's your coach that I'm sticking you with. But
a mighty team that will not yield.
There we go. Oh, what a beautiful milky voice. So Falcons. Well, so John Elway, that's an interesting situation. You know, they did not move on from Vic Fangio, but John Elway has wisely is replacing himself, you know? So there's another one. But anyway, yeah, I mean, he's got a chance, I think, to be a GM and he'd probably be a good one. He's had success as a personnel guy. It's a gift to all of us. That might be a 1-year gift to all of us who love the NFL to be able to enjoy his analysis on Monday Night Football, because I think it was a massive upgrade for Monday Night Football this year to have him on it. He was the star of that. And it's just hard to find people. A lot of people know the game, but it's hard to find people who can verbalize it the way he can and bring it to the masses like that.
And Joe, I thought you asked a great question yesterday of Lewis Riddick, and we've talked about, you know, the topic a lot in terms of the national view on Tannehill. And it's like, well, okay, you got Derrick Henry as your running back. It's easy. You're a play-action passer. You benefit from Derrick Henry being in the backfield. If you were somewhere else, you would be nowhere near the caliber of quarterback that we've seen so far with the Titans. And Lewis Riddick was having none of that yesterday in his response. Here's what Lewis Riddick had to say on Ryan Tannehill.
The people who say, well, yeah, it's great having Derrick Henry, and that's the only reason why you're excelling, well, they don't really know a whole lot about football then, and they don't really evaluate him in the proper context, because when you watch him play, yeah, there's some open window throws. Sure there are. There's open window throws for Tom Brady, too. There's been a lot of open window throws for Drew Brees. There was a lot of open window throws for Peyton Manning and John Elway and everybody else. I mean, it kind of goes like that. But if you look at some of the advanced statistics on Ryan Tannehill and just watch him play after play, this guy can throw the football with pinpoint accuracy into some of the tightest windows, and the advanced metrics bear that out when you look at it. He is deserving of the contract extension that he got. He is a guy that will absolutely rip you off a play action or as a drop back passer, and he can push the ball down the field as well as anyone. And he showed it just this past week against the Texans. That throw to A.J. Brown, you can't throw that ball any better. There isn't a quarterback in the NFL who can throw that any better, and it was perfect. And Arthur had the confidence to throw that, to call that play, because of the fact that it's Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown, and he's seen him do it over and over and over again. That had nothing to do with Derrick Henry. That had to do with understanding what coverage they were probably going to get, and that too high cover four look. They knew that the safety would bite on the dig route. They knew that A.J. would be one-on-one on the corner on the outside, and they had to have the confidence in Ryan that he was going to put it up there, put enough air under it so A.J. can run underneath it, and he dropped it right in there as if he walked up there and handed it to him.
So some high praise from Lewis Riddick on Ryan Tannehill. And, Joe, that throw specifically that he's talking about from Sunday in the Houston game to A.J. Brown to set up that game-winning field goal by Sam Sloman. I mean, that throw, it just doesn't get any better than that. Like, I've watched, obviously, a lot of Aaron Rodgers this year. I've seen a lot of Patrick Mahomes this year. Neither one of those two could have thrown that ball any better than Ryan Tannehill threw the ball. And I think, you know, the narrative is still out there from some that Derrick Henry is a big part of why Ryan Tannehill has been successful, and certainly you do get some open window throws out of the play action passing game. But as Lewis Riddick said yesterday, if that's your conclusion after you watch Ryan Tannehill play, you don't know a whole lot about football at this point.
Yeah, put that quote into my veins. Just keep playing it over and over for people who, and I swear, for whatever reason, it's just, there's just been a variety of different, NFL team fans on Twitter, you know, with some of the interviews we've had, mostly with him and with Charles Robinson. And it's like, man, you people, please, like, stop it. Listen to Lewis Riddick. Yeah, it's that was a great quote. And again, like what he said, I think most people around here already got that, you know, but it's harder. There's still a lot of it around the league. And let's remember this too. Like, a lot of times when we bring this up with Tannehill and just it's all play action, whatever, all that stuff. I mean, a lot of the people saying that are general managers in this league. I mean, right. Sando isn't coming on here and talking about this stuff because he just comes up with it. Like, he hits the GMs and he does that quarterback, the quarterback rankings based on them. And so a lot of them are dumb or at least dumb when it comes to this, you know? And I think it's a good example of you can be a GM and be successful and you can know your players really well, but you know, you can still have misconceptions about players that you don't watch that often, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I also think if you're going to have that job in this league, you should be more familiar with all the personnel in the league. I think that's a pretty important part of the job. But I mean, some of those guys don't have a clue about what's going on here.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD from Nashville texts in and says, it looks like the Titans are going to be without a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator in the near future. They had better start looking. That's been a popular reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You listen to that interview with Lewis Riddick, and it seems like all but a foregone conclusion at this point that Arthur Smith probably not going to be a part of the plans next year for the Titans based on the interest he's got from a head coaching perspective.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, and again, I don't want to get Titans fans' hopes up at all, but you know, but unless he just doesn't, there's not a job that he, I mean, I don't get the sense that Arthur Smith's like, oh, I must have a job right now.
Right.
You know? I mean, he can come back, light up the league again next year and have another opportunity. You know, so if there's not a job that he specifically wants, then maybe not. But yeah, if you're 6 for 6 on interviews, you would have to think there would be a match in there somewhere for him. So probably. And then it's how important is it with as much as the Titans have it rolling, you know, is it a priority to go internal with this? I would think that's more likely. But there's always someone like Bill O'Brien, who, of course, will get a lot of speculation because of his prior relationship with Mike Vrabel.
Coming up next, we'll look at Ryan Tannehill and continue to dissect his game a little bit further. What could another playoff run do for Ryan Tannehill's legacy here with the Titans in Nashville? We'll discuss that when we come back. Also, get your reaction as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Just a couple of days away now from Wild Card Weekend here in Nashville. The Titans hosting the Baltimore Ravens, the first game in the playoffs at Nissan Stadium since early 2009 in that season against the same Baltimore Ravens.
Why did you have to bring that up? You have to bring that game up?
I'm not bringing the game up specifically. I'm just saying that it's been a long time since they've had a home playoff game.
It has been.
That's all I'm saying here.
Offense. We can't talk about bad things that happened in the past, Ryan.
No.
You're just going to get all triggered about the Titans from 2009. It's going to be okay. I promise. Joe, we were talking in the last segment about Ryan Tannehill. And look, we all know it. I mean, the turnaround of this team since he's taken over as starting quarterback has just been incredible. And he finishes this year 3,800 yards, 33 touchdowns through the air, just 7 interceptions, completing 65.5% of his passes. But I think nationally, there's still some work to do. We talked about it a little bit with Lewis Riddick yesterday here on the show. If you're a casual NFL fan and you watched Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs last year, I mean, obviously the numbers, they're not going to blow you away. And, you know, less than 100 yards passing in one game. You go up against Baltimore, even though he made some great throws in that game. I mean, the touchdown pass to Khalif Raymond comes to mind as well. Not big numbers for Tannehill last year. If you watch the game, that's the way it had to be. I mean, Derrick Henry was dominating on the ground. But I think we know this Titans team going into the playoffs this year, they're in a different situation. The defense has been awful. This offense is going to have to probably get into the 30s on a weekly basis. to win some of these games in the playoffs. And Tannehill's going to have to be a big part of that. So what kind of opportunity do you think Ryan Tannehill has here to really prove and kind of add to his legacy here with the Titans here in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be certainly needed to produce more. I will say this, you know, the constant conversation about Tannehill and the national versus local and all that. I mean, if you're a Titans fan, maybe you want that national perception to actually stay where it is. Maybe that's a little bit extra, you know, fuel for him. Because he obviously, I mean, he confirmed, especially a couple weeks ago, you know, I mean, he hears it. And this was, of course, after the Pro Bowl voting. So maybe it's not a bad thing if you're a Titans, if you're in the organization or a Titans fan, that people nationally keep misunderstanding him or kind of downgrading him, dismissing him. But yeah, I mean, for his, I think his legacy with Titans fans who like to quote Lewis Riddick, know something about football. He was really good last year. He didn't have to throw the ball a lot in those two games. He had to make big throws in both of those games, but he's going to have to make more big throws to win any games this year. It's hard to imagine anything else. I mean, they're going to need both aspects of that offense operating at a high level that's the complementary football of the Titans. It's the passing and running game, making up for the defense, not the offense and defense complementing each other.
I kind of feel like, Joe, that for Tannehill to get the respect nationally that we give him locally, he's going to have to put up numbers on a national stage that he does on a normal Sunday at noon. Because when you look at a lot of his primetime games, he hasn't put up big numbers. When you look at Green Bay, he didn't put up big numbers. When you look at the Indianapolis Thursday night game, when all the eyes were on Nissan Stadium for Titans Colts, he didn't put up big numbers. When you look at the playoff games last year, didn't put up big numbers. So I think if he were to have a big game on Sunday and let's just say throws for 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and is just flawless in the passing game, I think it's going to take a game like that for the NFL fans and some media around the league to fully respect him like he deserves.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you also point out the opening week, they did not have big numbers, but he led a game-winning drive. He had 6 game-winning drives this year. He also, again, not big stats, but he played great in the game against Buffalo, which was a weird, you know, national, but still national, you know, Tuesday night game. So it hasn't been all one way,
sure,
like that. But yeah, the Green Bay game in particular, there was a lot of build up to that because you're talking about 2 MVP candidates, you know, not Tannehill, but still, you know, Henry Rodgers and all the excitement about that game, and the Titans just fell flat on their face. And I'm, you know, look, I think some of the offensive struggles may have had to do with the elements, but whatever. I mean, that's your chance on a stage, and he didn't play very well in that game. So I agree. I mean, I think a game Sunday, in which he has those big numbers and, you know, maybe has to make some throws, you know, and straight drop back situations, obvious passing situation. Guys, Titans don't want this, but maybe they need to be down 2 scores and for Tannehill to have to do it while Henry sits on the sideline, you know, I mean, because that's had to happen some too. But whatever that matters to him, the national perception, you know, if he wants to win, which he certainly matters a lot more, I don't see a way to them winning if he doesn't have a good game.
Well, I think he's going to have to be almost, maybe not perfect, but he can't have multiple drives, either like the Green Bay game, not just the interceptions, but there were a couple drives in that Green Bay game where it was kind of like, okay, what are you doing? And when you look early in the Cleveland game, you know, some of those halves that really got away from the Titans, Tannehill did not look good in certain drives in those halves. You cannot have that happen against Baltimore, because I'll tell you, if they get up by 2 scores, I don't see this Titans team coming back on that, because the Ravens defense is going to be better on Sunday. They're better equipped to handle the Titans than they were back in November because they have more of a full squad.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they're better equipped to handle the run,
sure,
but still they also should be better equipped to rush the passer. I mean, Calais Campbell, as we know, it can be a really effective interior pass rusher. again, 21-10 Ravens. It was in the first meeting, and the Titans came back. But yeah, that's not how you want to play. And Tannehill also threw a bad pick in that game. I mean, early in that game, probably one of, you know, what do you have, seven picks this year? But I think two in particular that were just like, you know, maybe he just didn't see the coverage right or whatever. Like the Bengals game and this game, just kind of forcing passes that you're like, wow. I mean, but again, that's all year. Two picks that stand out to me that are really bad picks. But yeah, you can't have those mistakes. And certainly, you know, the whole playing from ahead factor here has got to be more important in this game than any other game on the slate this weekend.
How much do you think that Tannehill views this as kind of an opportunity to show the rest of the nation that what he's done is real? Because it's obvious that he's paid attention to the narrative out there. I'm not saying that he just, you know, goes at home every night and is thinking about, you know, being disrespected nationally, because he's not. We know that's not how he's made up. But, you know, every athlete, you create as many chips on your shoulder as you could possibly have. How much do you think that's in his mind, if you're Tannehill, of a motivating factor, in addition to just the natural motivation that comes through the playoffs of, you know what, I hear what everybody's saying. I hear what they're saying. I'm a product of this offense and a product of Derrick Henry, and I'm about to show you here coming in this playoff run that that's not the case.
I mean, I'm sure that's in there. I'm sure that that's part of the overall drive for him, but, I mean, sometimes – coach speak and players speak is accurate. And I actually believe Tannehill, you know, that he's, you know, Pat O'Hara talked this week, Titans quarterbacks coach, some about, and asked him a few questions about coaching Ryan and what it's like. And he was asked a question by someone else, and I forget who, about, you know, a week like this, is it, you know, it's the playoffs, so you ramp up everything. And basically he was, to paraphrase, you know, Tannehill is a big time routine guy. You know, it's like the same stuff every week, the same stuff on Tuesday, the same stuff on Thursday to get prepared for a game. He's going to be thoroughly prepared. He's 100% focused on this opponent, on every situation, on every protection, on every check. And I just think that's what it is. I mean, that's how you excel in this league, is if you can actually be process focused. So I'm sure that it's part of the overall makeup. Like you said, Robbie, you find every chip you can find. But I don't think Tannehill this week is like, I'm going to show you guys out there. Yeah, I'm going to put 400 on these Ravens and you're going to bow down to me. You know, I mean, he understands that on a stage like this, when the stakes are this high, that, you know, narratives and legacies get created, and that last playoff, I think Tannehill would take 7 for 14, 88 yards, and a win right now. I know he would. He would say, thank you, give me the W, yeah. You know. But if he happens to win with 350 and three, you know, then after, in the back of his mind, I'm sure he's thinking, okay, anybody out there want to, you know, change your mind a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And regardless of what happens on Sunday, especially given the way this defense has played so far, you're going to have a really good game from Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you can't have critical turnovers. We've seen when that happens this year with this Titans offense. It's just very, very difficult to overcome. So a lot of pressure on Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry and company heading into this game, but they've shown that they've had an ability to respond to that all season long. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, will join us. We'll look ahead at the national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.